640 greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's stand up and give a sunny side of sports salute to British tennis star Andy Murray, who on Monday officially reached the world number one ranking for the first time in his career. The 29-year-old Murray won a title Sunday at a tournament in Paris, as we hear now from reporter Chris Bowers.
Andy Murray celebrated his ascent to the world number one ranking in style by beating John Isner 6-3, 6-7, 6-4 to take the Paris Masters, his eighth title of the year. In a final that gradually got better as Isner's tactics of going for broke started to become more effective, Murray had to rely on his match-winning ability rather than his full array of strokes to see him home. He profited from a couple of bad Isner errors on break points and dropped the second set thanks to one loose shot in the tiebreak. Isner always looked threatening in the decider, but when his level dropped in the 10th game, Murray broke to take the title. Having secured the number one ranking on a walkover, Murray said he was pleased to have been up for the final.
I felt really nervous before the match. I didn't feel flat or, you know, anything like that. You know, sometimes after you achieve something big or something that, you know, you maybe didn't expect to, it can be quite easy to have, you know, a letdown and feel a little bit flat. But I felt really nervous before the match today and I was happy about that.
The win gives him a 405-point cushion over Novak Djokovic at the top of the rankings going into the ATP World Tour Finals. It's a tournament where Murray has never done that well, and Djokovic could still emerge as the year-end number one. But the four seems to be with Murray at present.
Mentally, I've been in a good place for a long time now this year, and I don't feel stressed at all, really, away from the court. You know, I still find the matches stressful, but when I'm back at home, I'm, you know, just in a good place right now, and that helps.
And for the time being, at least, he's the one they all have to catch. Chris Bowers for VOA Sports, Paris.
Thanks, Chris. In Monday's official tennis rankings, Paris Masters finalist John Isner was the highest-ranked American at number 19. Isner talks about the influence of new world number one Andy Murray.
He's the guy that everyone is looking up to right now, and he's been at the top of the game for so long, whether it's 2, 3, 4 in the world. You know, everyone knows how hard he works and how dedicated he is. So he's a big inspiration to myself, and I'm sure he's a big inspiration to other players as well.
American tennis player John Isner speaking in Paris. From Paris, let's go to New York, where world champion Gurmay Gebrselassie of Eritrea and Mary Keitany of Kenya have won the men's and women's titles at the city's annual marathon. The 20-year-old Gebrselassie clocked 2 hours, 7 minutes, and 51 seconds to become the youngest men's winner at the New York City Marathon. And Mary Keitany successfully defended her women's title in New York with a time of 2 hours, 24 minutes, and 26 seconds. Mary is the first woman to win this race 3 times in a row since Norwegian runner Greta Weitz won 5 straight titles between 1982 and 1986. Overall, Greta won 9 New York City Marathon women's titles, the most of any runner in history. And speaking of multiple championships, let's give another sunny side of sports salute to wheelchair racer Tatiana McFadden of the USA, who kept up her long winning streak in New York. The 27-year-old McFadden finished in 1 hour, 47 minutes, and 43 seconds. For the 4th consecutive year, Tatiana swept the London, Boston, Chicago, and New York women's wheelchair events. And overall, McFadden has scored 17 straight victories in major marathons. Tatiana McFadden also won 6 medals at this year's Rio Paralympic Games, 4 gold and 2 silver. Meanwhile, Swiss wheelchair racer Marcel Hug won for the 2nd year in a row in the men's event in New York. A record-setting field of more than 52,000 runners from 120 countries took part in the New York City Marathon. With more on the big race, here is VOA's Tina Trin.
Are you ready? Are you ready to run?
On a brilliant autumn morning in New York City, the world's elite runners pounded the pavement to the cheers of fans gathered from near and far. The TCS New York City Marathon had officially begun.
We come every year. Yeah, we always come and cheer everybody on, and it's a lot of fun.
Leading the women's pack was defending champion Mary Kaitani, a petite Kenyan whose diminutive stature belied her commanding stamina. If she succeeded, it would be her 3rd consecutive New York City Marathon win. A few days before the race, she spoke modestly about her prospects.
It's not easy, but for me, if I do it, I think I'll make the history, and for me, it would be nice.
For Kaitani, running was just another day at the office.
I have no job, so my job is actually running. So I have to run, not for my kids to be well.
Fellow Kenyan Lucas Rotich was also thinking about his children back home.
My daughter really like me to go home with her presents. So not only a present, but also something to show him that this is what I got in the race. That's what's making me to really work hard.
Rotich also knew his daughter wouldn't be the only one watching.
All of the Kenya are watching New York. And I think they don't want to be disappointed. We are representing our country.
Ugandan Moses Kipsiro was running his first New York City marathon, but remembers New Yorkers' energy from a previous race.
All the way, the people are cheering and, coming towards the finishing. You get a lot of support and, it was something so special that I keep remembering it.
In the end, Kaitani got her 3rd win and Rotich came in 2nd. Gurmé Gebrselassie from Eritrea became the youngest ever at 20 years old to take the men's title. Whether runner or spectator, the day's victories were shared by all. Tina Trin, VOA News, New York.
Now I'm down in Tribeca, right next to the Narrow, but I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra, and since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop in Harlem, all of my Dominicanos right there up on Broadway. Pulled me back to that McDonald's, took it to my stash spot, 560 State Street. Catch me in the kitchen like a Simmons whipping pastry. Cruising down A Street, off-white Lexus, driving so slow, but BK is from Texas. Me, I'm out that Bed-Stuy, home of that boy Biggie. Now I live on Billboard, and I brought my boys with me. Say what up to Tata, still sipping my top, sitting courtside, Knicks and Nets give me high five. I be spiked out, I could trip a referee, tell by my attitude that I most definitely from.
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America.
I'm Sonny Young in
European club football news now on the Voice of America. Reporter Loic Youth has an update for us on weekend action in Spain's La Liga and England's Premier League. And I think Loic is going to kick things off with top of the table Liverpool. Sporty greetings, Loic.
Oh, sporty greetings, my dear football fans, and to you, Sonny. This ever-intriguing Premier League season took some more twists this weekend as the top four has seen some changes. We start off with new lock leaders Liverpool and the Sunday demolition job of Watford. The Hornets came into this one on the back of three clean sheets, but that was quickly vanquished as Klopp's free-flowing team scored six and conceded once. A brace from Mane with more from Coutinho, Chan, Firmino and Wijnaldum ensured that the Reds climbed up top that was briefly occupied by Chelsea. For the Blues, it's now 5 wins in a row and 5 clean sheets to boost as Conte's 3-4-3 system is proven effective. Hazard and Costa continued their fine form, scoring 3 out of the Blues' 5 as they hosted Everton at Stamford Bridge. Marcos Alonso and Pedro rounded off the rout and Chelsea finished the match day in 2nd, while Everton ponders their poor showing in 7th. At the bottom of the table and finally, all teams have recorded at least a win as Sunderland got their first 3 points in the season. The Black Cats came from 1 down at Bournemouth to win 2-1. Jermaine Defoe's winner was the difference as they still remain rooted to the foot of the table but are now level on points with Swansea in 19th place. Bob Bradley is still in search of his first win since taking over. The Swans hosted Mourinho United on Sunday and were dispatched by 45, where a Zlatan double and a 100 million volley from Pogba put the game out of reach. But it's 5 points from 11 games and trouble is looming in South Wales. Other results saw Arsenal and City's title chances take a slight hit, with both teams letting one goal lead slip to share a point. So they both dropped to 3rd and 4th respectively, and for Arsenal, that is familiar surroundings. Leicester's poor title defense continued with a 2-1 home defeat to West Brom, while Hull eased relegation fears with a come-from-behind 2-1 win over Southampton, and boy, did they need that. West Ham and Stoke are teams both going through a revival process following disastrous starts to the season, and they shared the spoils in their game on Saturday. Crystal Palace and Burnley played out to an enthralling 5-goal game, with Sean Dyche's men stealing the 3 points at the death. Palace came from 2 down and were looking good for the points, but it's never over till it actually is in football. And a 94th minute counterattack saw Ashley Barnes snatch all 3 points for Burnley. It's been a while since we peeked into La Liga, so that's exactly where our next stop is. The top 4 in this one saw some chops and changes, as well as Sevilla hosted Barcelona in the late Sunday kickoff. It is the Blaugrana that came away with the points. Messi and Suarez cancelled out Vitolo's opener to keep them 2 points adrift of the Madridistas, a welcome result following the 3-1 defeat at City. Atletico Madrid has slipped to 4th following their 2-0 loss at Real Sociedad. A win would have sent Simeone's team up to 3rd, but instead it's Sociedad who climbs up to 6th in the standings. Real Madrid and Villarreal make up the rest of the top 4 as they both kept clean sheets. Bale's double against Leganes means he now has 150 career goals, and I'm sure there's more to come from the Mercurial Welshman. Morata added a cherry on the cake for the all-whites, but it is the form of another Madrid player that is coming under question. The goals have dried up for Cristiano Ronaldo this season, and talk of him being old and past his peak are rife, but form is temporary and class is permanent, hence why he got rewarded with a new contract. Villarreal makes his appearance in the top 4 after overcoming Betis at home. For the Yellow Submarines, this represents great strides they have made since relegation and winning promotion back into La Liga. The bottom of the table isn't looking too promising, however, as none in the relegation zone won this match day. Sporting Gijón made a fist of the game at Malaga, but still lost 3-2. The game could have been different had Gijón kept a full complement of players, but a 71st minute red card was compounded by a 78th minute Malaga winner, leaving them in 18th on 9 points. Osasuna lost at home to a second half Deportivo Alaves penalty, keeping them in 19th and 3 points above Granada, who tied at home to Deportivo La Coruña. That means the league's worst defense props up the rest of the division with 4 points from 11 games. It will be a long season should things stay like that. The race for Europa League is fairly tight, with 6 points separating Sevilla in 5th and Malaga in 10th. As I mentioned, Sevilla's home reverse to Barca pushes them out the Champions League places, while Sociedad's triumph over Atleti tucks them in at 6th. Athletic Bilbao and Espanyol played out to a dour 0-0 draw, so the Basque team claims 7th spot for now, while the team from Barcelona is 3 points and 5 places above the relegation zone. Celta de Vigo, Las Palmas and Malaga make up the rest of the top 10. so the title races in England and Spain are as tight as the American presidential elections at the moment, and the bottom of both tables are equally a tight affair. That's it for Match Day 11 from Eloic Youth, and thank you for tuning in. Take it over, Sonny. Fill up them bodies.
Thanks, Loic. The title races in England and Spain are as tight as the American presidential election at the moment. I like that, Loic. Nice description there. The Major League Soccer playoffs will resume November 22nd in Canada and here in the United States in an all-Canadian club matchup. The Montreal Impact will host Toronto FC in the first leg of the Eastern Conference Championship. And in the other series, the Colorado Rapids will be at home against the Seattle Sounders in the first leg of the Western Conference Championship. In results Sunday, the Sounders lost to host FC Dallas in Texas 2-1, but Seattle won the first leg 3-0 and advanced on a 4-2 aggregate. The Colorado Rapids eliminated the five-time MLS Cup champion Los Angeles Galaxy 3-1 on penalty kicks. The teams drew 1-1 on aggregate after two legs to force the penalty kick shootout. Elsewhere, the Montreal Impact scored a 2-1 road victory over the New York Red Bulls. Argentine midfielder Ignacio Piatti scored both of Montreal's goals. Montreal won the series on aggregate 3-1. And Toronto FC rolled to a 5-0 victory over host New York City FC at Yankee Stadium. Toronto easily won the series on aggregate 7-0.
I'm Manny Pacquiao, the fighter from the Philippines.
Filipino boxing star Manny Pacquiao scored a unanimous decision victory over American Jesse Vargas to win the WBO welterweight title over the weekend in Las Vegas, Nevada. The Pac-Man dropped Vargas in the second round and bloodied his face on his way to the victory. The three judges scored it 114 to 113, 118 to 109, and 118 to 109 in favor of Pacquiao. Now, Pac-Man did not attend the post-fight news conference as he received 16 stitches from a cut he suffered in the final round. Among those ringside for the fight was Floyd Mayweather, fueling talk of a Mayweather-Pacquiao rematch. The two went at it last year in the richest fight ever, with Mayweather winning a unanimous decision. Pacquiao's promoter Bob Arum was asked about Mayweather's presence at the fight and the possibility of a rematch in 2017. Arum responded, "As far as he knows, Floyd Mayweather is still retired." Andrew Palcheski is not retired. He's right here in Studio 22, and he joins me once again on the Sunny Side of Sports. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. I think I have about probably a good three decades before I'm eligible to retire, but that means a lot of time on the Sunny Side of Sports, so I'm okay with that.
We look forward to it, Andrew. What's trending in the sports world on this Monday?
Well, let's combine those two stories. You're talking about some stitches there and some soccer, and we combine those to get Robin Van Persie playing in the Turkish Super League and had a scary incident where an opposing player seemed to swipe at his face. He went down, had a patch they put over his eye. It was bleeding, and fans were concerned that the injury to his eye might mean he might not see again. He might not play again as a result. And so Robin Van Persie took to Twitter and Instagram and sent out a message to his fans thanking them for their support. He said, "I had a little tear in my eyelid. After tests in the hospital this morning, I can say that my eye itself is undamaged, so all good. These things happen in football." Any kind of job where a tear to your eyelid is a potential hazard is maybe not one I want to be involved in. But so credit to Robin Van Persie for doing that. The fan reaction ranging from, you know, horrifying, gruesome injury, a lot of concern for his well-being, but it does sound like he's going to be okay. So that is good news for him that hopefully he won't be out off the pitch for too long. Sticking with the world of football or soccer, on a less gruesome note, Lionel Messi scoring his 500th goal for Barcelona, sending Messi fans into a tizzy. One person tweeting out saying, "592 games, 500 goals, 268 assists, the greatest of all time." So a lot of love for Lionel Messi. One fan account tweeted out, I love this, says, "Water is wet, sky is blue, and Leo Messi is the greatest player of all time. So a sentiment being expressed by
doesn't
a lot of...
doesn't quite rhyme, but I like it.
Doesn't quite rhyme. It's a nice little poem. It's a free-form poem. It doesn't have to rhyme, I guess. But no, it's, you know, just calling him the best ever, saying what an amazing accomplishment that is. So kudos and congratulations to Lionel Messi on that great achievement.
I know there's always football debate about where Messi rates on the football pantheon. He still does not have that World Cup trophy on his resume. So if he can somehow win a World Cup down the road, yeah, I think he's going to be right up there.
Yeah, well, if you take a poll of the fans, at least on social media, I think he's already reached that pinnacle, at least in their mind.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOASunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOASunnySports. Andrew, what else is trending in the sports world?
Well, speaking of reaching that pinnacle, back to a story we talked about last week. We said that if Andy Murray could advance further than Novak Djokovic in the BNP Paribas tournament, he would be the new world number one for the first time. And sure enough, he has done that. So Andy Murray, as of today, is the new world number one in men's tennis. So he's receiving a lot of congratulations from fans. And two of the biggest fans, names that our listeners might know, Roger Federer tweeting out saying, "We have a new king in town," or he's using a crown emoji at least. He says, "Congrats, sir, Andy Murray." And Rafa Nadal says, "Congrats to my friend Andy Murray on becoming world number one." Andy Murray marking the occasion on his social media, posting the poem "If" by British author and poet Rudyard Kipling. That goes on, "If you are tested, if you are tried, and if you face all these adversities, you will be a man, my son." So sure enough, he faced those adversities, and he is the world number one. That rhymes. There we go. That's a little poem there. And Wimbledon, just quickly tweeting out, they said, January 1st, he trailed Novak Djokovic by 7,640 points. November 7th, he goes 405 points clear as world number one. So an amazing turnaround in just 11 months in 2016.
Great year for Andy Murray. At the beginning of the show, Andrew, we had a report from Paris from reporter Chris Bowers, and Murray talked about becoming world number one for the first time in his career. We also had some audio from John Isner, who lost to Murray in the final in Paris. Isner is currently the top-ranked American player at number 19. And he really had some nice words of praise for Murray, that he really inspires the other players on the tour, not just himself. I think Murray is probably pretty well regarded among his peers.
Absolutely. If you look at just even the social media, you see, you know, Rafa and Roger reaching out and saying congratulations. And also Marin Cilic is reaching out saying that he's reached his career high of world number seven, and Andy Murray has reached his career high of world number one. So congrats to his great friend. Now, Andy Murray and Marin Cilic, there might be a different tune next week when they face off at the ATP World Tour. They're in the same group when that kicks off in London, so we'll see how that fares. Now, Novak Djokovic is the four-time defending champion at the ATP World Tour Finals, so we'll see if Murray can get that number one from him and break that four-game or four-year streak and keep Novak Djokovic from going a fifth year as ATP World Tour Final champion.
So Djokovic can still overtake Murray at this point of the year.
He can,
for number one.
So we'll see how, you know, we'll see how long the number one lasts. But for right now, Murray is savoring it. That's for sure.
Andrew, what impact do you think the Olympics had on Murray's game? I mean, he won two consecutive gold medals in Olympic tennis. Do you think that helped him on the regular tour?
Well, I'll tell you what I think helped him, and this is my own personal theory. I remember after Andy Murray, it might have been Andy Murray or Novak Djokovic, I can't remember which, but one of them wrote on the camera, they do that after the tournament, they wrote, "Marriage works." And Andy Murray, having gotten married and just this past year had his first child, a daughter, I think that's kind of put things in perspective. Novak Djokovic has said the same thing after he got married and had his son, that it kind of helped him, you know, play better, put things in perspective in his life. So I think that's working for Andy Murray. And the results, you know, as some of the sports fans are tweeting out, a Wimbledon title, an Olympic gold, six tournament titles, and of course that world number one. So a great 2016 to remember, and perhaps most importantly, that first daughter of his that he has.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you very much.
And we look forward to hearing you again on Tuesday.
Sounds good.
And that wraps up the November 7th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Dan Crafton. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting American ideals and institutions.
A democracy is a political system wherein the ultimate power lies with the voting citizenry. It is exercised by the people during periodically held free elections, through which the electorate chooses representatives to run the government at every level. Here in the United States, nearly 220 million people are eligible to vote in this year's election, though fewer than 147 million have registered to do so, and fewer still choose to vote. It has been a contentious election, more so than usual, with a country divided along ideological lines behind candidates that represent vastly different proposals for governing over the next 4 years. Yet despite the acrimony, regardless of which candidate wins, and no matter how close the final vote count, the loser is expected to concede the election, step aside, and the outgoing administration will peacefully hand over power to its successor. That is how democracy works. The United States has a federal system by which the voters do not directly elect a president, but instead are represented by electors, chosen by the state and the political party of the popular winner in each state. Individual states have a specific number of electors determined by the size of their populations. Collectively called the Electoral College, these are the people who officially elect the president and vice president of the United States. This is why sometimes a candidate may win the popular vote yet lose the election. Such was the case in the year 2000. In Florida, which has 25 electoral votes, the margin of victory was impossibly narrow and a recount of votes was ordered. Because machines counting the votes could not read some of the ballots and therefore invalidated them, another manual recount was begun. Finally, the matter was referred to the Supreme Court, which ordered the recount stopped. George W. Bush emerged the winner with a margin of 537 votes. In line with the country's democratic principles, his opponent, Al Gore, peacefully conceded the election. Like democracy itself, the electoral system has its flaws. Nonetheless, in the United States, it is still the ordinary voters who choose their representatives for the country's top elected positions. The United States remains, as President Abraham Lincoln called it, a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Through a free, fair, and impartial election, it remains so today.
That was an editorial reflecting American ideals and institutions.
Next on Let's Talk. Africa is home to several languages and over 1,000 different ethnic groups. That makes summing up African naming traditions vary significantly. Join host Sunday Shumari and his guests discussing names in Africa. Let's Talk comes to you Mondays at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
Political conventions are a critical part of the American electoral process. Our job is to put the conventions, the candidates, and the issues into context for our listeners. Tune in to VOA's extensive coverage of the Republican and Democratic Party's conventions starting July 18th on VOA.